All right, right. Good morning. We have the extended version of the Vuvuzela theme song of Ole Ole. Very, very happy to be here today with Greg Orlandini, KYW Radio and Philly Soccer Show host and all-around great guy who knows the inside and the outsides of local Philadelphia football. So we're very happy to have him here.
Great to be back. Great to be talking to you again, Eric.
We're in your neck of the woods today.
Yeah, down South Jersey.
You're in South Jersey, so you're not too far from
here. Not too far, just in about 15 minutes from here. So.
Well, I really like I like this studio a lot because all there is sports memorabilia all over the walls.
It gets you in the mood, you know.
It kind of fits. it kind of works. Well, we have a lot going on. If you're not aware, you're listening to Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show, on WNJC 1360. I'm Eric Nash, and we'll try to give you the hour, the best soccer talk in the Delaware Valley, okay? So, Greg, first of all, we're coming off Thursday's, what they call the Super Draft. Why is it called the Super Draft?
I don't know. It's marketing, like anything else. You know?
It's like the Super Bowl?
They needed a name for it. They called it a Super Draft, so there you go.
My mom used to warn me of the Super Draft. That was a different kind of draft. I guess like getting a cold or something. It was a little different. Anyway, so I guess you weren't at the draft personally.
Well, I wasn't at the draft. We were able on the KYW Philly Soccer Show, the podcast. It's on cbsphilly.com/soccer. You could go there and download it now. We were able to get Chris Gabriel from Philadelphia Daily News and philly.com, who was there, was covering it with his colleague, Jonathan Tannenwald. And, so we got some insight from him. And on the first round pick, Chandler Hoffman, forward out of UCLA, all signs point that the Union got a steal with him at the 13th pick.
Now, the first time, we had the 13th pick, which was like kind of middle of the pack, right? Yeah, you know, basically.
Middle to the lower, yeah.
Now, how does a guy, and I saw a couple of draft boards, for lack of a better term, they had him first, third, maybe ninth. So 14th, or was it 14th or 13th?
13th.
So that sounds like a total steal. Now, I guess the first question would be, how does the potential first pick of the first round of the Super Draft end up dropping to 14? But don't bells and whistles kind of go off?
A little bit, but he's coming out of a great program in UCLA. We have two UCLA Bruins on the Union right now, Kyle Nakazawa and Amobi Okogu. We try to guess what's in people's heads going into drafts, and we do it in every sport. And the Wenger kid that went first from Duke to went to Montreal, he was consensus number one. I think a lot of people were very high on him. You know, he was an All-American in defense. He was an All-American at forward. You know, he played defense 1 year, I think his sophomore year, junior year, he played forward. He was All-American at both positions. Sounds like Montreal may be converting him to dedicating him to defense, to a central defender. But you can guess what people need. You can guess what people want. And just it doesn't always shake out right. And, you know, Hoffman just kept falling and falling and falling. And forward isn't really a position Union need. They have a lot of young forwards. They have, you know, a very established player in Sebastian Letou. They have young forwards in Danny Mwanga and Jack McInerney. And they brought in the player Martinez earlier in the offseason.
Costa Rican?
The Costa Rican player. He came out of Saprissa. Who's a young guy who's 21, 22, who, you know, could play striker, play winger. But when you have a guy that's projected as good as this, who had a really good year, who's coming out of a great soccer factory in UCLA that has, you know, pros all over the MLS playing in, it's tough to turn down.
So we're ecstatic.
I'm happy with it. It's Novak's got a big problem now is how he's going to play all these guys. You kind of think there may be a move in the offing. There was rumors that Danny Mwanga was being shopped around. I didn't put too much stock into that. There's a couple of the blogs out there said it, and the front office guys from the Union, John Hackworth, guys like that, said, you know, we take calls on players all the time, as teams always do.
Right.
Doesn't mean they're shopping somebody, and I don't think Mwanga would be the guy that's moving.
I think Hackworth may have actually been on the blog that I was listening to, you know? And it was really great because you had Carith, I'm sorry, in the first hour, and then you had what was the fellow's name on the second?
On our show, we had we actually had Jen Paskowski on her second segment from the Philadelphia Independents. She's a defensive. Defensive midfielder with the Independents.
We'll get one day. We'll have a chance. Maybe even today. We'll touch a little bit on the Independents because it's nice that they had their draft as well. Right. Wasn't in the same place.
No, it was in Kansas City. It wasn't the same day.
But it was in Kansas City.
It was. I think it was. Yeah, because they always do the draft where the coaches' convention is.
Okay.
And the coaches' convention was in KC this year, and I think it's going to be in Philly in the next couple of years again. It was going into Union's first year. It was in Philadelphia. I think it's going to be like either next year or the year after. It's coming back to Philly. So
pretty interesting. And I looked at that a little bit. You know, the women's draft as well. Yeah. Let me Simon Borg, who's a blogger that people know. He called Chandler Hoffman the American version of Chicharito.
He was very high. Yeah. Simon Borg's an interesting guy. I listen to Extra Time Radio. I guess as a lot of fans do, and I read his stuff on MLS.
Sure.
He's a guy. I like Simon Borg. He's kind of a guy that mixes things up, though. He likes to kind of throw things out there. If you could compare a guy to Chicharito, that's great. I mean, if this is the player he thinks we got, that's fantastic. I don't know how true that is. I think he's probably a pretty polished player coming out of college again. UCLA is one of those programs that's making pros now. Like Akron, you look at Akron, there are a lot of good, solid pros come out of the Akron program. Those are kind of two of the bigger schools that, you know, Maryland has a good program. We've got McMath that came out of Maryland.
Okay.
Am I going to compare him to, you know, Javier Hernandez, who's probably one of the better strikers in the world? I mean, stylistically, maybe. I mean, we had Carithon. He compared him to compare a guy that's currently on the Union. He compared him to Jack McInerney, but kind of a bigger version of that because he's max around, I think, 5'10", 5'11", where Hoffman stands at 6 foot, and he's kind of a poacher, a guy that can get into the box and create that way. So
Greg, we shouldn't be worried about Sir Alex showing up with a bucket full of money.
No, I don't think so.
or euros and trying to buy Mr. Hoffman off of us. Anyway, we have a caller.
We have Rodney from Chester.
Oh, Rodney from Chester. Rodney, are you there?
Hi guys. I gotta be honest with you, I'm a lifelong resident of Chester and I really wasn't much of a soccer fan, but I gotta tell y'all that, you know, the Union building that stadium down there did so much for this city in terms of starting to revitalize it a little bit. And, you know, I've been getting into soccer and everything, so I have a question for you guys. Those Union games, I've been to a few, and they're mostly sold out. You think they're going to enlarge this stadium?
There are plans to enlarge it. They have, I think, a 3- or 4-phase plan to just get more seats in there. Have you been in PPL Park yet?
Yeah, I've been there 3 times.
Okay, great.
Had a great time every time. And it's unbelievable, you know, how safe it is on game day.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, when they first built the stadium, they said, oh, down here in Chester, you know, who's going to go to the games there? It's dangerous. But I got to tell you, there's no safer place in the country on game day than PPL.
No, I agree with you.
But it's just that the tickets, they're starting to become hard to get, and they're starting to get expensive on the second market.
Right. And basically the next phase of development at PPL Park is going to be over the Sons of Ben. As I understand it, because if you go there, there isn't on the riverside, on the river end, there isn't a video screen there, and it just looks almost incomplete in a way. And so they're going to put a tier there, and I think that's going to take it up above 20,000. It's at like 18.5 now. They could squeeze about 18.9, 19 standing room. I think I've heard kind of numbers kicked around like that. So yeah, they definitely want to expand. They definitely want to get more seats in there and want to get more fans there. And, you know, you said you live in Chester. I think the Union's been a great kind of corporate citizen to Chester and has really done some good things in the city so far. I mean, you could probably speak to that, you know, seeing some stuff going on. But I think they've done a lot of right things as far as the city of Chester.
It's night and day. I mean, it was great, you know, revitalization. I mean, it was basically a dump down there by the river, you know, when the Union came in. And, you know, it's a great first step. We need a lot of help here. I mean, our school district is bankrupt,
right,
unable to pay teachers and stuff, but the Union was a great step down here in the right direction. Well, anyway, good show, guys, and I'll be listening in the coming week.
And I just to add, thank you very much for calling, Rodney. And if I just may add to what Greg said, it looks like the Union is chasing, Greg, you can address this probably, chasing the All-Star game.
So. I've heard that. that was put out there. I think they're one of two cities. I forget what the other cities are looking at. They're one of two cities that's being checked out for this year's All-Star game, which hasn't been announced. My good friend and occasional guest, Keith Gabriel, put out. There's nothing firm on that yet, but it would be great. I think consensus. I mean, you know, and I know consensus is on PPL Park that it's just a great facility.
No doubt.
They had the Rugby Sevens there. They're coming back. You know, they had the WPS All-Star game there. Villanova's played a football game. There's been lacrosse tournaments. There's been soccer, collegiate soccer. I mean, it's as good a facility in this area as there is, and we have some great ballparks in this area, and Citizens Bank and the Link and, you know, the Wells Fargo Center, and it just kind of adds to it.
It's magnificent. I mean, they also have the Harris that they built there.
Right.
So they're, you know, they are definitely doing something. You will hear differing opinions
about
Citizens saying, you know, they're not doing what they promised. But you know what the bottom line is?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Rodney said. I mean, Rodney lives there, and Rodney seems mm-hmm. to be satisfied with what's going on, and I think that's really, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day.
No, exactly. And hopefully, you know, Chester could, like, the union is just part of the thing that lifts Chester up, and that was, you know, we know kind of the situation down there.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not, and let's face it, with the parking, they're working that out.
Yeah.
It's a difficult situation.
It's still not perfect.
No, but the funny thing is were you at the summit that they had there?
No, I wasn't able to go. I watched some of it online and was able to hear some of the quotes from it.
It was good. I mean, yeah. Look, the point is they are trying, and, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, it's beautiful because, you know, they're growing along with the team and along with the interest in
right.
the sport. So
no,
I think
absolutely.
It's all nice. It's all rolling in the right direction. You're listening to Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show. Eric Nash along with Greg Orandini. The phone number to reach us is 856-227-1360. 856-227-1360. It's WNJC1360.com. If you're listening, there's a good chance you're already on that site. Anyway, getting back to the draft for
yep.
a second. So we're going to have a bigger stadium, okay?
Down the road. I mean, that's something they're developing, yeah.
Okay, so
that's in the offing for sure.
Okay, so let's you know, and you like you said, it looks like it was created with that in mind.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of the new soccer-specific stadiums that they're building are built to be built on, you know, to be expanded. Okay. So
with Chicharito coming to the front line, Greg, I'm guessing, at least there was some rumor that could spell the end of Danny Mwanga with the Union. Your thoughts on that?
I don't think so. Yeah. I saw those rumors. I didn't take them particularly seriously. And John Hackworth threw a quote out there and said, oh, well, you know, if they offer us picks and $1 million, you know, we'll think about it. And I think that was just him kind of throwing something out there. I don't think Mwanga's going. I think he had a tough year last year. He still bagged 5 goals, had a tough year last year with some injuries. He had some, I think there's some confident issues. Mm-hmm. You know, we go back with Carlos Ruiz coming in and kind of the forward line getting disrupted a little bit. I don't think he ever really got his footing after, you know, after that. I think he stays. I thought McInerney might be a guy that gets moved on, but I haven't heard. That's just me thinking. I haven't heard any rumors on that. And you got to understand. I mean, you got to think about what value you're going to get for these guys, especially if teams know you're overloaded at a position. You're not trading from a position of strength. You know,
it's true. I mean, unless someone's looking for. I mean, yeah, you really don't want to give up on Mwanga. I mean,
no.
Mwanga's an exciting player. He's a crowd favorite. And he's a good guy.
He's a first-round pick. I mean, he's the first overall pick. And, guy, you know, when you take a guy first overall, you're investing a lot in him. You know, you're making a statement. So after 2 years where he had a very good rookie year and a disappointing second year, but still showed a lot of flashes of, like, the player that he is and hopefully will become, right. I think it's a little too early to give up on him.
I mean, the Carlos Ruiz experiment seems to be a failure.
I agree with that.
And I think that kind of shook everything up. And luckily, they still bounced back. Sebastian found his scoring touch, his
exactly.
finishing touch. And they seem to work well together,
mm-hmm,
you know, Sebastian and Mwanga. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I thought they had especially in the first year, they had a great relationship. I mean, they just kind of – they always kind of knew where the other one was.
You like Mwanga? I mean,
I like Mwanga a lot. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of
his.
He's got a lot of the tools that you want in a striker. I mean, he's big. He's very physical. He's got speed. He's got a decent touch. Like when his touch is going, it could be very good. He could you know, he could get the ball and turn on goal. And when he gets ahead of steam, like, defenders will slide off of him.
We got this fellow with a Scottish accent on the line. He wants to talk to us. I think he's got money and he's got to use it. So you can't have Hoffman. He's ours, okay?
Yeah.
He's our West Coast guy. Let's move on, okay? Greg Jordan was the second pick.
He's the second pick.
Midfielder from that soccer powerhouse of Creighton, which will probably correct me that they probably are. But the thing is, that seemed to be a little bit of an odd spot for that pick at that time.
And, you know, it's the second round, so you're looking best player. We have the Olympics coming up. We're likely to lose some guys to the Olympics, and that's including Amobi Okogwu. They brought in a defensive midfielder also in the offseason in Gomez, but they might move him around. He seems like a good player and a good kid. Is this a guy they might think about converting to defense? I don't know. I mean, he's got some size. It was kind of an odd pick, but I think it's a pick for depth, especially again with the Olympics coming up. And, you know, maybe they took him with an eye of maybe converting him. That's one downside of this draft. I thought they really needed to take a center back, and they didn't.
Okay. And you know, I hear what you're saying. I want to say we're talking to Greg Orlandini, who is with KYW Radio and the Philly Soccer Show. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem. I appreciate your brain
on a Saturday morning. I appreciate you coming around. But I guess the question I have, and perhaps this may be a little bit of a naive question, I'm sorry if it comes off as such, but, you know, in England, for example, so many cup games going on along with the league and things like that. Are we going to run into that same kind of situation in the United States with the MLS and the various types of hardware they can be playing for? And is it smart to have the depth, the size of the bench? I guess the depth of schedule of team. You know, backups, third string. You know, a really good bench play. Does that come into play?
I think so. And we're. Unlike the leagues in overseas, we're handicapped, if you will, with a salary cap. So you can't really have the size of squads that, say, Manchester United or an Arsenal is going to have, just because, you know, you have a pool of money and you got to, you know, use it in a certain way.
You can't do too much or you'll have no decent players.
Exactly. I mean, you know, we're going to probably lose guys in the Olympics. You know, we have U.S. Open Cup coming up. I don't think the dates have been set for what the Union is going to be playing in that yet. But, you know, we bailed out in the first round the first 2 years of the franchise. But you don't know. I mean, it's possible they can make, you know, a decent run in that. So you're going to need players for that. You have a couple guys that are maybe getting a little older. I mean, Brian Carroll, I think, is going to be 32 going into the season. And, you know, he played great and he played a long time. He played a lot of games last year. He was hurt for a handful, but I mean, after Latu, I think he might have played the most minutes of any outfield player. But he's a guy that's on the other side of 30 now. So I think it's if you can get depth and you can make it work financially, I think you should do it. Yeah.
As far as Greg Jordan, for example, that wasn't necessarily considered a stretch as much as it was positionally. Why did they pick that guy? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, it's just, you know, defensive midfielder. Where do you have a guy like Amobi? You brought in a guy like you brought in Gomez, and you have Brian Carroll, who's like one of the first guys on the team sheet at defensive midfielder. But again, you're probably going to lose Amobi to the Olympics, so you're going to have to kind of rotate. And I think they're going to play. I think they were most effective last year when they were playing two holding midfielders, two defensive midfielders, and I think they're going to figure out a way to do that again. So,
now the last pick was a right back named Raymond Gattis from West
Virginia. Raymond Gattis, West Virginia. They made a defensive pick, which I was happy with. They picked he's definitely a right back. He's a right footed player. Everything is saying that he's a natural right back. You know, again, with the Olympics, Shayna Williams is a guy that might be going because he's been called into the Olympic camps.
Okay.
So he could be cover for him. I mean, it's a depth pick. I mean, it's like, you know, it's late in the second round and it's the 35th pick. It's at that point, you're kind of looking for depth.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully he's a guy that came out of Reading, team out in the Pennsylvania, and they've kind of had some pros come through there,
and they know him.
And you know, it's a guy. So it's a guy they've seen. So So the guy they're comfortable with taking.
Now, is the second round of the MLS Super Draft, I don't say that, the Super Draft, is that similar to the second round of the NBA Draft, in your opinion?
It seems like.
It's
tough
to get a guy that's going to be real.
It seems like it. They had, I mean, it was three rounds last year, plus they do a supplemental draft, which is, you know, I think it's two or three more rounds after that. But it's which comes up this Tuesday, I think. It's not as ballyhooed as the Super Draft, but... yeah, I think by the time you're picking like at the 35th guy in this draft, you're just kind of hoping. You know, you're hoping a little bit, yeah, and
which was all drafts are kind of made of that hope, right?
Exactly.
The hope's freaking eternal. Now, before we leave with the draft talk, because there's a lot of other very interesting things to talk about domestically. Let me ask you, who, if anyone, impressed you with? You know how they did on draft day. Your scorecard says who got an A+ from anybody. If it's too hard to say.
I think the Union did pretty well. A lot of people are saying Chivas did well. They only had one pick, but they picked up a four, which they needed. And Chivas isn't getting a lot right now.
That's a good point.
I think this Wenger kid's probably going to be very good.
Any relation?
I don't think so. To Arsene Wenger? No, I doubt it. But.
Well, at least we didn't take him. He went to Montreal, though, right?
He went to Montreal.
Okay. French, Montreal, Wenger.
Right,
sense,
it's possible. I'm trying to think who really stood out to me. I think the Union did well. I'm trying to think who really stood out. I don't think there was anything really like earth shattering that happened in his draft. That was kind of a surprising thing for me. There was the one trade, Kenny Cooper going to Red Bulls from Portland. Okay. I thought there might be some movement as far as picks going up and down. That never happened. That was just pretty much straight up what you see was what you get. So there was nothing really that like jumped out to me in this draft.
Why is there some sentiment, and I'm not sure which camp and how it's really going, but it seems like there is a little bit of sentiment that the Super Draft is like not really necessary anymore. You've heard that?
There is. MLS kind of skirts this line that it's soccer and it does the things that soccer leagues do. But it's also in the United States and North America, so it's got to do some of the things that a North American league does. So it's almost, well, of course we have to have a draft because this is what we do. Mm-hmm. And there's so many avenues that players could come into the league, the international players, you know, things like that. Now there's academy. The academy system's on the rise. You know, there's PDL teams like Reading where players can come in. Players are being discovered, things like that. I think it's important because I think there's been some great players that have come through it. Do I think it's going to go away? No, I don't think not anytime soon. I think we're going to continue to have a draft, and I think it's still probably a relevant process.
856-227-1360, where you can reach me, who knows very little, and Greg Orlandini, who knows very much. Okay, so, you know, we got a nice balance here as well, okay? Talking about balance. And before we do that, I want to say, okay? We're good. We're good. Just having a little communication. Hello. Okay. Anyway, talking about balance, let's talk about the new unbalanced schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the new playoff format as well. Your thoughts?
I like that you're going to – it's more of a conference thing. You're going to see some of your rivals a little more. And again, this speaks to, like, the line that MLS skirts between is it a soccer league? Is it a soccer league in North America? I mean, what is its identity? I think play suffered because of the travel a lot last year. East Coast teams, I think especially East Coast teams going west. I mean, you saw it on the field. I think play definitely suffered for it. So it cuts down on travel time a little bit. I like the playoff format seems a lot easier to grasp. I think the wild card, I think they were trying to do some excitement with the wild card games last year. I don't think they really came off. I like, you know, it's finally a geographic, it's a conference system. It's kind of in line with what the other sports in the country are doing. It's I can see where there's the distractors, bizzers. Like now you have some teams with easier schedules, some teams with harder schedules, and But for the most part, I like it.
Yeah, I mean,
because I really like the building of the rivalries. That's what this league needs.
That's what soccer's always about.
Yeah, I mean, seeing these teams a little more. I mean, we're going to get Red Bulls twice in PPR, PPL, and Union going to get them twice here. I think that's going to be great. I think you need to build that. You need to build, like, the geographic rivalries and things like that.
I tend to agree. I mean, I think that, yeah, like we said, what world football is really all about are rivalries, mm-hmm. you know. And, it, yeah, I mean, New York and Philadelphia, of course, that may be transplanted by a New York rivalry. It seems like Garber is starting to push
that whole thing.
They will build the stadium in Manhattan, and there it will be. Mm-hmm. And then someone will be in, okay? But I don't know. But the point is, I kind of like it. It was tough when I tried to have a bracket pool last year.
All right.
Yeah, it's tough to do the brackets with that little caveat with the wild card games.
Right.
New York ended up being in the Western Conference.
Right, and that's always in the New York playing in the Western Conference. I mean, it's you're trying to sell the sport and you're trying to explain that to somebody. It's well, why is New York in the Western Conference? Well, it's because of this. You know, it's a difficult. It's another. It's easier to sell the sport this way. I think it's easier to sell the league like this.
I think you make a great intellectual point, also Greg, in the sense that, you know, I don't think we talk about this enough, and the league has to walk that wire.
Mm-hmm.
As are you a North American? Are you an American sport,
right.
really, or are you a soccer league?
Right.
And if you're a hybrid, it's hard because you don't have the transfer windows, you don't have the mm-hmm. relegation and promotion.
Right.
It's tough.
I mean, they're doing a little better. They're playing fewer games on the FIFA blackout dates where there's like friendlies and things like that, but still, I mean, this year, the night of the night of the Gold Cup final, you know, Chivas and the Union are playing. I mean, it's your region's biggest international final. I mean, it's a Gold Cup. You make the point. I mean, Gold Cup's not the Euros. It's not this. It's not that. But it's what we have.
It's got to get bigger.
But it's what we have, and it's important to the United States. And it's, you know, they're playing their biggest rival, and you still have league games going on during it. They got to work around things like that still. They got to kind of get away from that. I think they're moving in the right direction as far as, you know, less games on the blackout dates, and, you know, it's easier to get players available for, you know, the national teams, things like that. But, you know, it's still a work in progress.
And, you know, of course. I mean, you know, although the league is, what, 15, 16 years old?
About that, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's coming into its own in the last, like, 5 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
You say? I mean, with the Pacific Northwest, the strength of some of those franchises.
That's huge. I mean, those rivalries are huge. I mean, you know, the TV deal with NBC, I'm really excited about that.
Great.
I'm really curious to see how well that goes and things like that.
Right. So, I mean, we're going to get the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Locally, we're getting more exposure. And it's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's all good. What I don't think is a good thing, this is once again my personal opinion, I don't like these 6-week transfers to the European leagues or to any leagues. It's bothersome to me. Thierry Henry, maybe because of a Tottenham fan,
right,
is bothering
me.
But I don't like, I mean, like, the Hail the Conquering Hero. I mean, I was listening to that game on TalkSport in London, and which, by the way, is a great station if anyone ever gets a chance to listen to that on an app from London. But how do you feel about it? I mean, you have Donovan there. You have, what's his name, Gonzalez, who got injured, by the way.
Yeah, Omar Gonzalez, which is terrible thing. I think a lot of it, it's such a long off season. MLS has such a long off season, and a guy like Thierry Henry is really not used to that. He's used to playing 10 months a year.
Right.
And longer, because, you know, he was a mainstay with the French national team. You have Jurgen Klinsmann that came in and said the national team players, the guys that are hopeful national team players, have to play more games, have to play, or have to keep working in the off season.
Okay.
So, do I like it? For Henry, I guess he wants to stay sharp, and, you know, he wants to be in a familiar place where, you know, obviously I'm an Arsenal fan, so it was a great goal he scored in that FA Cup game, and that made me happy and all that.
Sure.
I guess he wants to stay sharp, and he's saying all the right things. He's been saying right things since he got to the United States, that he wants to win with Red Bull and do things like that. Donovan, yeah.
Wait, before you go on, I just want to say, when Henry scored his goal, apparently they were lip reading, and he said, "I am the king," or something to that. Is that the right thing?
I am sure he felt like the king at that point,
because
that stadium blew up.
Best announcement. I mean, I'm sorry. Best ovation Theo Walcott ever got. They both came out at the same time.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
So that was, I don't think Theo probably liked that too much. But anyway, God, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah. And you know, a guy like Donovan, he's been trying to succeed in Europe now for I don't know how long. But he has a good relationship with Everton. I don't think this is a good Everton team as he went to 2 years ago. They're really struggling, and they just can't score goals.
No, they
so can't. Hopefully he helps them out.
It's good for him, though. It's good, yeah. It's good for the U.S. team as far as him getting – I mean
for the younger – I think it's good for the younger guys. I think it's good for a guy like Brekce, who's not playing with Arsenal but trained with them for a while. Michael Farfan is with Sunderland right now.
Super player.
Oh, great player. Yeah, and he's training with them. He's kind of getting a taste of what it's like. Mm-hmm. You read what's coming out of England. They're calling it a trial. Union says, no, he's just training. I think he's just training. I don't think he's going to transfer.
Really?
I don't think so. I honestly, I don't think
so. Now, is that a bad thing, though? We're talking about Farfan. I'm sorry.
Michael Farfan.
Yeah, I mean, is that a bad thing if our guys all of a sudden can get looked from the Premier League?
If it turns, I don't want to see him leave, obviously. If it can morph into a loan and he gets, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games with Sunderland, that can only help, obviously.
Right.
I think it's ultimately probably a pretty good thing. I mean, especially if your national team coach says, I need guys to play more. I need guys to play some meaningful games. I need guys to work in the offseason.
Okay, I want to say hello. We have a couple Celtic fans I know that are watching the game right now. They're beating Dundee United, trying to keep pace with a Ranger that won. Their favorite team to talk about, course. But you know, so I want to say hello to them and thank you for listening. You're listening to Vuvuzela, the World Soccer Show. The phone number to reach us is 856-227-1360. We're here at the wonderful, spacious studios at WNJC in beautiful Sewell, New York on 1360 AM with Greg Orlandini. Now, Greg, Beckham, he's staying, correct? Is that official?
I'm not sure if it's official, but it sounds like he is.
What do you think of that?
I think it's he finally got it right, I think, towards the last couple of years in MLS. He finally kind of got his head together.
Finally understood the playoff system?
I think a lot of things. I think he kind of understood his place in the league and things like that. And, you know, LA were worthy champions. They were best team from wire to wire, and he was a big part of that. And I think he was a lot less distracted last couple of years. I think he played for a coach he respected in Bruce Arena. I think he was probably a better teammate the last couple of years than he was when he got here. I just read the Beckham Experiment. I don't know if anybody's gotten a chance to read that by Grant Wall. It was a really interesting book and really interesting insight into how that whole process went down and some of the control that Beckham's handlers had when he came into MLS and signed, the control they exerted onto the Galaxy and some things that went down that just kind of left a bad taste in the mouth of the players and some guys in the league and the ownership, and a lot of that's gone now, it seems like.
Right.
A lot of that's kind of moved on. I probably ultimately it's good for the league he's staying. I don't know how much of it was yes, I want to stay, or no, Paris Saint-Germain don't want me.
Yeah, what's the deal with Paris Saint-Germain? I mean, they have more money than God. All of
they have a lot of money. They're
you better watch.
They're back. They have a lot of. Hoffman. I mean, they have a lot of money behind them. They just brought in Carlo Ancelotti. I think they fired their coach when they were in first place, which rarely happens. But they brought in a great coach, Carlo Ancelotti.
The Phillies, I think. Once,
well, yeah. But they have a lot of cash behind them. But Ancelotti basically said, "Yeah, I don't really see Beckham in my plans." The ownership group probably would like them to be around just for marketing purposes.
Paris Beckham.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, but Beckham's, you know.
Beckham said, and one thing I've always read about him, that, you know, he's pretty, you know, there's been kind of some rumors about his, you know, off-the-field activities, but he just dotes on his kids, and he didn't want to move his kids around. Okay. And his kids are really, they're getting a little older now, and they're really kind of, the roots are kind of getting deep in the Los Angeles area and things like that, so that he didn't want to disrupt his family. And if that's true, that's great. I mean, but I think there's also an element of the Paris Saint-Germain interest wasn't as great as everybody was
There must
thinking.
Be some kind of an escape clause. I don't know. For some reason, I believe, and I still believe, once again, this could be my Tottenham bias, okay? But I really thought that Harry Redknapp will, and I think he still may become the manager of the English national team. And I really thought Beckham would be his number one, so it's a little confusing as how that would work out.
He's number one as far as an assistant?
As a player.
I know. I read some things. He didn't have a great experience – on the sideline in the World Cup. I mean, he went there. He was injured. I think he wanted to play ultimately, but he kind of came in as a he helped Fabio Capello out a little bit on the sidelines. I don't think a couple things I read, he didn't have a great experience doing that. So I don't know if coaching is the offing. Ownership is probably in the offing for him. I think there's a part of his contract that says he can own an MLS franchise.
Will that
be the Cosmos or whatever thing happens in New York? Because that's kind of in the air. That's a possibility, but. Right.
Interesting. You just, you know, being St. Louis, we talked about this before. St. Louis being such a hotbed of soccer, American soccer history, surprising they're not in line for a team.
They've been trying for years, and it was, I think, Philadelphia and St. Louis in that round of expansion were kind of vying for it. Everything I've heard is just the ownership. They could never really quite get the ownership group together, and they've tried a few times. And I also think that there was a St. Louis franchise at WPS, and that didn't go well. So I don't know if that would hurt in the eyes of MLS, but I don't think it helps.
St. Louis Red Stars, I believe.
I believe so, yeah. And, you know, St. Louis has a great soccer tradition. I mean, a lot of players came out of there. I mean, fans in St. Louis always know it. Every World Cup the U.S. has been in, they've had players from the St. Louis area on the team.
Okay.
And I would like – I'd rather see St. Louis than another New York franchise. I don't think there – Chivas is struggling in the Los Angeles market. I don't think there should be another team. Everybody says, well, but it's the Cosmos. It's the name. It's 70s. It's Pele. I don't care.
Well, they're not going to be that same team regardless.
I know.
I mean, they can't buy the players like they did before. It was to the ruination of the league.
Oh, absolutely. It's not going to be that thing. They're just going to have the nice uniform. I would rather see St. Louis come in. I think they should kind of knit together these geographic rivalries a little more. I mean, there'll be a natural situation with Chicago and Columbus and in the Midwest. They could, I mean, because they have it kind of, you know, they have like this I-95 corridor thing going on now with Philly and D.C. and New York and Boston. They have, you know, the three teams in the Pacific Northwest who just hate each other.
Which is great. And
the Timbers and Portland and the Whitecaps. And you have, you know, teams in California.
All NASL nicknames, by the way.
Right, yeah, exactly. I would rather see St. Louis, personally, or something like that.
I mean, I don't know if I'd say, and I guess it doesn't necessarily have to be an either or.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, they probably will expand again, even though,
right.
You know. So I think you also would need at some point, at least I think you would need a Florida team.
They've tried in Florida, and it hasn't gone well. I mean, they had a good, you know, I think. The Miami team was a good team, and it struggled financially. I mean, it's 10 years down the road.
Now the Ravens team, right?
Right. It's 10 years down the road now. I mean, things are a little different. Mm-hmm. You know, they just got a big new baseball stadium in Miami. I mean, there may be some opportunities to build a soccer-specific stadium in Miami. But they've just had – and you think Florida would be such a natural – place for MLS,
you know, the melting pot.
Pot with the weather. I mean, you could play soccer all year down there, and it's, you know, the large Latino community down there. But it just, for whatever reason, this really hasn't taken root.
I kind of skipped over when we were talking about my bias against the short term loans, and we had mentioned Omar Gonzalez. Mm-hmm. What happened with him? In case people aren't
basically, he was there. I think his first day of training, and Tip Chandler, another U.S. international, they kind of came together, and he had a torn ACL, which is, in any, you know, if you follow sports long enough, you know, a torn ACL is never a good injury.
Never.
Right. It's unfortunate. It's sad because he finally got a call in to the national team. He had left to go to, I think he worked it out. He left to go to Stuttgart. He worked it out with Jurgen Klinsmann to go there. And, you know, and this happens. I mean, it's sports. I mean, anytime you step on a field in practice or in play, something catastrophic can happen, and something did. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, he's one of the best young players in the league. He was probably the best player out there that not to get a call into a Klinsmann camp. So I feel bad for the guy, and he was a guy I was really looking forward to seeing play in the U.S. uniform. So you know, he's got a road ahead of him, but you know, he's young and he's a young fit guy. So hopefully, you know, he'll come back and he'll spring back.
Obviously, the ugly underbelly of these short transfers.
Right, exactly. But
is there insurance? How does that work, I guess?
What's that? I think there's insurance. They'll be able to work something out.
But it's not going to – it might give you some kind of exemption and get him money, but it's not going to give him a fine defensive player.
Right, and, you know, if I'm Bruce Arena, I'm, like, pulling my hair out at this point because he's, you know –
You're right.
He wasn't on, you know, with the Galaxy one. There's, you know, he was in Stuttgart.
Stuttgart, right? Yeah. Exactly, right. I mean, once again, though, I guess the exposure is always good in itself.
No, it is.
If it ends, you said he could have toward his, he could have done it.
I mean, him. You know, they're talking about him and Tim Ream as the next, you know, the next great center back pairing for the U.S. And you were. This was probably the next step in that development, and you know, this happens.
Just briefly, because we did touch a little bit on the women's soccer. Nice to see that the draft actually took place.
No,
there was a
good
chance that this season was not going to happen.
No, there definitely was that. Chance.
And they're down to five teams.
There are five teams right now.
Which just means the quality of the soccer is going to be better, really.
Yeah, basically all these teams are all-star teams, if you think about
it.
Which
is nice, yeah. I
mean, and, and I'm looking forward to the Independents. I'm going to try to get down to more games this year. And they play a really fun style of play. They play a really kind of open style, and they have some really exciting players. You know, Vero, who's the, I think, player of the year last year.
Terrific. Only played about maybe two-thirds of the year.
Yeah, two-thirds of the year. And she's actually playing for a team in Sweden. She'll kind of in the same situation. She'll be back a little as the season starts.
Tasha Kai,
who's, you know, terrific. Fun to watch. And terrific. Amy Rodriguez and, you know, Jen Boskowski, like we mentioned before, had on the program, who's, you know, one of the better defensive midfielders in WPS.
I would have to honestly say, in my opinion, if Tasha Kai would have been on the U.S. national team in the World Cup, they would have won it. I couldn't believe. I know she may be some type of a disciplinary situation, but she's such a talent.
You're going to have Eli Promise Storch on at some point.
Absolutely, yes.
If you really want to get Eli going, ask him about the head coach of the women's national team.
Really?
We'll just
leave it at that.
If you want to like the match, you know, listen to my program this week, and if you want to, light the match, that's how you do it.
Eli. Definitely. Oh, good. Good to know that. I'm going to do it. I would write that down if I had a pen, but I will write that. I'll write that on my handy little iPad here. Yeah. But yeah, Eli is also a Tottenham fan, by the way.
Oh, he's
so,
we get into it on our program if anybody ever listens. Yeah,
very well. I think a lot of people listen, but
yeah, we go back and forth a little bit on that.
When is your program, by the way?
It's not a live program. It's a podcast. We generally tape it earlier in the week, or, you know, as schedule permitting, and it's hosted on cbsphilly.com/soccer, mm-hmm. where you could get that and you could download it and listen to it. And
I knew that actually. I do listen as a podcast. It's interesting because I try to do. We do a Vuvuzel show on Blog Talk Radio, mm-hmm. Which is a live show, and then it ends up being podcasted. And it's amazing how few people listen live and how many more listen to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about convenience.
Absolutely. And, you know, portability. And, you know, you have your iPad there. You know, I have my iPods and things like that. Everybody wants something they could kind of carry with them as far as these kind of programs. So
you learn everything. I'm a little older than you. You learn everything every day with this stuff. You really do.
Absolutely.
You know? So anyway, so we pretty much touched. I know that there was a little bit. With a player by the name of Ackerman, who was a third division player in Germany, who had a problem with the real Americans that Klinsmann apparently are not picking to take real German Americans.
Right.
What's up with that, man? Kind of nonsense?
A little bit. And this is a guy who's playing second, third division soccer in Germany.
He admits that.
Yeah, he's
not a contender to be on the national.
He brings something up that's interesting, though. That Klinsmann is using these kind of German American guys that he's bringing in, like the Danny Williams and the Tim Chandlers. You know, it's we're working within the rules. Other nations are doing that. I mean, you look at Croatia. I mean, their striker Eduardo was born in Brazil.
Right. Was it significantly different, Greg, in under Bradley? As far as
a little
type of thing.
Bit, I don't think it was quite as prevalent, but he's casting a wide net, Jurgen Klinsmann, and he brought in guys that are playing in the Mexican League, which Bradley really didn't do, and he's bringing more guys in that are Mexican American that may hold, you know, to have have a U.S. passport, but, you know, Mexican American parents. So he did that as well. So, and he's doing that. He's looking at these guys are, a lot of them are children of servicemen who were stationed in, who are stationed in Germany.
Right.
And, you know, and he has the connections in Germany, obviously. Because, you know, he coached there and he played there forever, and he's, you know,
and for Tottenham,
and, you know, for Tottenham.
Sorry, Greg.
No, that's fine. But, you know, but he's, you know, he's a very big personality in Germany, right, still, even though it's the way it ended with Bayern Munich, it was a bit on the disastrous side. But
that's true.
I'm glad he's casting a wide net. Let's put it that way. I'm glad, you know, we're not limiting ourselves. And if you look at this camp, it's almost all MLS guys now. So he's looking at big, you know, slices of big groups of players. And the guys that are kind of growing into kind of his stalwarts are guys like Breck Shea, who's, you know, played here, you know, obviously.
Right.
You know, and he still has Tim Howards of the world in here and guys like that.
Clint Dempsey
and right. Donovan. And so he still has kind of that guard in, but he's bringing in these younger players. He's bringing in, Torres, who plays in the Mexican League, who's unfortunately injured. But, you know, I think it's going to be a big part of what Jurgen Klinsmann does. Mm-hmm. You know, so he's looking everywhere, and that's good. That's a good thing, I think. And and it's a good thing. And if you're working within the rules, and if you're doing what other nations are doing, you know, I don't think he's excluding players. I don't think if there was a kid who's playing, who plays, you know, for a PDL team, who's like an 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid, who's playing in college, just came out of college, is playing in MLS, and he's better than one of the German American guys,
right.
I think the better player will win out.
Okay.
Ultimately.
As it should be.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, getting a big pool of players is not a bad thing.
I agree with that. I truly believe that if soccer is going to become a big time sport, for lack of whatever the definition of that would be, I think the selling point, to me at least, the best selling point about soccer is that you do have a right to cheer for your club team, like the Union, mm-hmm. and also a national team. What other sport affords you that possibility?
Right, and I think
that type of thing.
For the average sports fan in America, MLS doesn't define soccer. The national team does. So a successful national team drags the sport along, and if people start picking up an MLS, I think it's going to be because of what the national team does. Because, like I said, ultimately, I think the sport in the U.S. is still very much defined by the national team.
I have to agree with that also. I'm agreeing a lot today. Let me ask you, I want to talk to you, before we end the show, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Olympic team. First of all, how does the Olympic team work, and how does it differ from the U.S. men's national
team? It's a U-23 team, and they're allowed to have, I forget the number right now, but like overage players. Like, I know Brian McBride played in the 2008 Olympics.
And he would be an overage guy.
Yeah, he was like, I think, 33 at that point.
So, yeah, under 23. Is it an under 23 division for the whole Olympics, or is just how the Americans
play? I think it's, I'm not 100% sure. I think that's how it shakes out for the U.S. team right now. I think, I know Ronaldinho played in Brazil. I know Messi played, but he was, you know,
Beckham may be one of those exemptions.
Beckham's trying to be an exemption for that.
It's not England; it's all of the United Kingdom, I think. For
right, it's going to be a team you team GB, as they call it, which is going to be interesting. I think
definitely.
Just kind of see, and they're already saying that players that play on the team GB are not going to play on the Euro team for England.
Did England and the Irish are going to be on the same team?
Well, Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland.
Okay, but then, and also Scotland and Wales.
And Scotland and Wales.
That should be very interesting.
You know,
yeah, I like that. I don't know. I wonder how the England feel. I don't, you know, I listen to TalkSport once in a while. I don't remember anything negative about that anyway. So
right.
That's pretty
cool. So that's.
So it's an under 23 right. with some whatever number of exemptions. Who coaches the team?
It's Cale Porter, who's also coach of Akron, University of Akron.
Is that significant?
I think it is, because I think there's a lot of good players have come out of Akron in the last few years, and he's a younger guy. He's like this guy's only in his 30s. He played a little bit in MLS, I think, and I think importantly, it seems like he's a guy that's making pros. You know, he's developing. Like, we talk about UCLA being a strong program, and the Chandler Hoffman coming out a pretty refined player. I think Porter's kind of doing the same thing in Akron. I think the last draft, last year's draft, a lot of Akron guys went, and everything is that he's a very solid coach. He's a very smart young guy. And obviously, Klinsmann and the hierarchy in U.S. soccer saw that, and that's a guy they want kind of in their fold.
So I guess maybe my second question: they do work together. So Klinsmann is involved in some way with the Olympics, maybe not on the on the touchline.
Probably not on the touchline. I think more now than ever, and Klinsmann has said this a lot. They want a U.S. style. So I think everything's going to be under the U.S. tent. And I think Porter – and actually I'm going to have an opportunity to interview Caleb Porter this week for the Philly Soccer Show. And I'm going to talk to him about this. I hope to talk to him about this, that, you know, from top down, the U.S. team is going to play a certain style in a certain way. I mean, we've seen a lot of 4-3-3 formations from Klinsmann in these friendlies.
Okay.
And is that what's going to the Olympic team's going to do? Is it they want all the way down to like the U-17s, the U-12s? Do they want the same style on the field as the senior teams? I mean, that's how a lot of countries do it. Well, that's how a lot of countries do that. I mean, they want everybody on the same page. I mean,
I think that sounds well. They probably will. Do successful countries do it that way?
Oh, absolutely. So I think So right. I mean, ultimately, like game decisions and, you know, moment to moment, I think Porter's very much going to be his own man, but I think he's going to work within the U.S. system.
So when can we hear your interview with Mr. Porter?
We're going to interview him. We're taping the interview this Monday, and we're trying to line up a couple other interviews for that, and I'm going to have my co-host Eli Promise Storch with me, and it should go live on cbsphilly.com/soccer early Tuesday morning.
Okay, and you all should listen to that because we'll learn a little something about the Olympics, which we're only, what, about 4 months, 5 months away?
About
now.
That, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I won't be in London for that unless someone has a nice has some tickets for some of it. I'm looking forward to it anyway because it's another way for soccer to get the national, I guess, exposure here. Mm-hmm. You know, and hopefully we'll be a competitive team, I hope, in that.
I think so. And like I said, and the union's going to be hopefully well represented. You know, Moby Bokogu is probably going to go. Shannon Williams has been in a couple camps. He's getting looked at. Zach McMath's being looked at. You know, Freddie Adu's been called into a couple of these Olympic camps. So Philadelphia Union is going to be well represented in the Olympic team.
Freddie Adu, what's the deal with him?
Freddie Adu.
Apparently I read a real scathing blog about him.
There's been a couple out there. Yeah. He's training with a team in Spain, in Spanish First Division.
That's the one. Rayo Mallorca.
Yeah.
I'm probably kidding.
And he's made noise. Oh, I'd love to play in Spain, and I'd like to stay, and da 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 da. And, you know, when he came here, he was like, well, you know, I want to stay in MLS and I want to. He's a guy with a lot to prove. And he's a guy that needs to maybe grow some roots and stay with the team for a little bit and play.
I agree. It's kind of weird to be a has-been. And what is he, 23?
He's 22.
He's like, it's almost like he's been around forever. You know, I think he played with Babe Ruth and fought Jack Dempsey.
Yeah, I know. He's crazy. But he's got to play. I mean, if he wants to. You know, he was toiling in the Turkish second division, which, I mean, nobody sees. You know, he's bounced around in Portugal. He bounced around in Spain. He got a, you know, look, couple teams in England. He trained with them, but nothing ever came of that. I think his best opportunity is to stay in MLS for a while, play first-team football, and just play. And just, you know, prove to people that all the hype about you was warranted.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, you know, I don't know about the second division that you were talking about.
Turkey. Who knows?
Better or worse than the MLS as far as quality? I don't know.
I would think
you would really be good if you knew that answer.
Yeah.
And you know, if you told us the answer, we wouldn't know if you're talking about it right or not.
I would think MLS would be better.
But okay, well, there you go. And yeah, I mean, it sounds like a good fit. You're right. He's got to stay. I think the problem with a lot of soccer players, they don't stay. They don't stay still. They move around so much.
No.
More than most other sports, you don't think?
No, I think it could be an issue. You see it a lot in Europe. I think a lot of it's agent-driven, and I think a lot of it's money-driven, you know.
Well, like everything else. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, that is true. Just a couple of – and I will be fair, your Tottenham drew at home to Wolves today. Bad result. Of course, they were down 1-0. That's a bad result.
No, it's not a good result.
Result. Wolves were, like, right, I believe, right around near the drop zone.
Yeah, they're not great. They're definitely, you know.
Of course, Liverpool also drew at home to Stoke, and they're, you know, they're Chelsea picks up some points. Man U, Clobbers, Blackburn, not a big surprise. Yeah. At Blackburn, I'm sorry, Bolton. My mistake. Yeah, Bolton's woes continue, losing at Old Trafford 3-0. But anyway, looks like we're going to go. I just want to remind everyone before we say goodbye, Fado, we will be doing a remote on the 22nd. Man City hosting Tottenham. You have Manchester United going to the Arsenal, and we are going to have the initial meeting of the Philly Spurs. We have a lot of people. We have T-shirts. Anybody who's interested, believe it or not, a lot has been made of it. It's going to be done, and we're going to have at least 25, 30 people with those Spurs shirts. Not bad for our first ever event. So, Greg, thank you so much, my
friend.
Thanks
for having me again.
Yeah, you always you taught us a lot. Now we can look forward to the Olympics.
Yep.
And anything add on? Any ideas? Any thoughts you want to leave us?
I'm just looking forward to the season. I can't wait for MLS season to start.
It's been a long, cold winter. Anyway. Maybe not so cold, but cold as far as at least the beautiful thing once again about soccer is we do get football all year round.
Always something on,
which is nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, for Greg and me, this is Vuvuzela. Hopefully Bob and Shep will be back next week. We haven't seen Shep in a while, so hopefully we will see him at Fado, I believe it's pronounced correct.
Fado, I think.
Fado, there you go. Once again, Greg Wondolski. Not bad. Anyway, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you next week, or at least you'll hear us next week. Take
care. You can have your own radio show right here on WNJC Radio or our sister station, WIFI. WNJC covers South Jersey and Philadelphia. You can talk sports or anything else all you want. Get on the air. Talk about the Eagles. Talk about the Flyers. Talk about the Sixers. Talk about the Phillies. That's right. It's a great way to break into broadcasting. Don't waste money on broadcasting schools. They're a ripoff. For a small amount of money, you can get right on the air and cover South Jersey and Philadelphia. Give us a call.